Morning. Today's daf is daf Mem Hey in Yuma. We're in the middle of Mem Dalid Amud Beis. The mitzvah is to be makter ketores every day in the Beis HaMikdash. We take a mana, pras bavoker, pras ba'erev. We divide it and we split it up so that half the ketores is burnt in the morning, half ketores is burnt in the afternoon. The ketores is burnt on the mizbeach ha'pnimi. There's a mizbeach inside the heichal, together with the menorah, together with the shulchan, and that's where the ketores is burnt. Where's the fire? Where do we get the fuel from? So there we go to the mizbech achitz, and we go to the outer mizbech to take a shovel full of coal, place it on top of the mizbech apnimi, meaning that the kohen is going to pick up the coal, go down the ramp, head into the heichal, go through the ulam into the heichal, deposit it on the mizbech apnimi, and that's where the ketores is going to be burnt on the mizbech apnimi. That's b'chol yom v'yom, and that's done every day. On Yom Kippur, there's going to be an additional ketores. The ketores that's burned in Yom Kippur is a ketores that's burned lifnai v'lifnim in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so that when the Kohen Gadol comes in, he'll have the smoke, the cloud of smoke, so that he can go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So what the Mishnah was describing, Amem Gimel Amud Beis, was some basic differences between the getting of the fire and the ketores that's done year-round versus that which is done on Yom Kippur. So in terms of the actual amount of ketores, in other words, the ketores itself is the same, meaning the ketores that's used to burn in the Kodesh HaKadoshim is going to be the same ketores made of the same compound that's burned every day in the Heichal. But in terms of the amount, the quantity, and the coals, and how much coals is going to be used, so for that, so there are going to be some differences. And the other difference is going to be that in Yom Kippur, it is daka min adaka, meaning it's finely ground, mash enkin. When it comes to the rest of the year, it's just daka, it's just ground. So the Mishnah, if you go back to Mem Gimel Beis, the Mishnah highlights a number of differences between the ketores of Yom Kippur versus the ketores year-round. We're on Mem Dalet Amud Beis, and we're starting right in the middle of the Amud. B'chol yom ha'chosa shel kesef. Ma'itama ha'tor ha'chasa mamona shel Yisrael. When it comes to the rest of the year, so that shovel that went into the heart of the fire on top of the mizbeach, so that was used out of silver. Why? Because Kadosh Baruch was chasam amonim sheyisrael. Because if we use gold, it would eat right into the gold, and we'd have to be replacing gold shovel. So by using that first shovel as a silver shovel and then transferring it over to gold, so that'll help us save a little bit of money. And Kadosh Baruch Hu is considerate for our money. Now, in terms of Yom Kippur, so you go right in with a gold shovel. Why? Well, in other words, why not go in with the silver and transfer over to the gold? So the Gemara explains, because chushu de kohen gadol, because that's extra work for the kohen gadol. And on Yom Kippur, the prime consideration is that the kohen gadol is going to be doing all the avodah in Yom Kippur, so try to minimize the amount of work that he does. Therefore, have him go in with the shovel. B'chol yom b'shal arba kav ben tanan nispazu lo kav gachal mikavdan la'amam. The Brisa brings down that there was a weight of a kav of gachalim, and as a result of the amount of coals that was taken, tenichad a kav etin yirach kabaim. Now one Brisa has it as it was a kav, and the other Brisa has it was two kabim. Bishlam ha'achtet nikav rabbanan alahachtet nikabaim money. Who's the author of the Brisa that says it's two kav? Lo rabbanan v'lo Rabbi Yosi. I'm Rav Chista Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Rabbi Yochanan ben Broki. He did Tanya. So the Gemara quotes a Brisa. Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Rabbi Yochanan ben Broki. Omer bishal kabaim hayamachnis. He would bring in not one kav but two kav. So we have a Brisa that says that it's two kav. Rav Ashi Amar Afilo Tem Rabbi Yosi v'achi kam v'chol yom ha'yachot b'shal zah midbaris o'ma'ar l'toch shlosha kabin Yerushalmios. And the Gemara says, no, it could very well be that the author of that brace is Rabbi Yossi. And Rabbi Yossi, and the way we would explain it is that every day they would take out a sa'a midbaris, which is the amount of sa'a that was used in the midbar, and then they would pour it into shlosha kav yushamio. So in other words, we have a brace that, we can then translate the opinion of the brace as the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. Okay. B'chol yom ha'isa kveda v'hayom kala. Every day was heavy and today was light. The shovel, that is. Tana b'chol yom ha'isa galda ava v'hayom rach. Now, every day, it was made up of a thick coating, and today was very thin. The shovel was very thin. Now, again, go back to the idea that we just mentioned. The reason why is because chol shod de kohen gadol. In other words, the kohen gadol is going to be the one carrying the shovel filled with coal from the top of the Mizbech over into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. B'chol yom ha'isa k'tar v'ayom ha'rucha. The handle was long on Yom Kippur. Now that's counterintuitive because a longer handle would mean that it's heavier. But the Gemara says, no, my time of Kodesh HaTeh Zroa shol kohen gadol misayaso. And the reason why it was a long handle is because now when he be holding it, so he can have the handle go under his arm, and so therefore it can help leverage him to carry it. Tana b'chol yom lo haya lo niyashtek v'ayom haya la niyashtek. Now every day there was no niyashtek on the shovel, and today on Yom Kippur there was a niyashtek, divrei ben hasgan. Okay, fair to ask now, what does that mean? I mean, what are we talking about? So if you take a look at Rashi, niyashtek, so Rashi says tabas b'rosha, some sort of ring on the top of the shovel, shemikashkesh, umashmi akol. So the way Rashi describes it is that it's producing a sound, it's like ringing. Mishum v'nishma kolo bevao, because they want the Kohen to be heard as he's going in. So how is he going to be heard when he goes into the Heichal? Answer, there's going to be a ring on it. So that is that's the niyashtek that's found on it year-round. But when it comes to Yom Kippur, there's no niyashtek. That's the pshat given by Rashi.
He had bells. Didn't he have bells on
I also said, right?
Yeah, also. Know that they would go in.
Correct. And now bells on the shovel as well. If you take a look at the Rabbeinu Chananel, and Tosu Shishanim quotes it as well, I think on Memhamad Aleph, but if you take a look at Rabbeinu Chananel, so he says the Niyashtek is a kisui. It's a type of lid. In other words, it's a shovel with a lid. So it's almost like a clamp, where like you're able to put the coals in and then there's a lid that goes on top. In Yom Kippur, there's no clamp. I guess the reason why in Yom Kippur, I'm guessing, the Rabbeinu Chanan doesn't really explain, is that in Yom Kippur, anyway, the coals are going to go directly into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and they're going to be used right away. So that doesn't really need to be a lid on top. Perhaps the purpose of the lid is to retain the heat. Okay, maybe. It's a guesswork on my part. B'chol yom haya zahava yarok. Okay, now, year-round, it was made up of a yellow gold. Yarok, in the context of the Mishnah, usually is a reference to yellow, not green. Right? In modern Hebrew, yarok is green, but the Mishnah, usually, yarok is talking about the color yellow. If the Mishnah was to be talking about green, it would say something like yarok akarti, like a leekish type color of leek. But here, it's yarok, it's assumed. And we are talking about gold, so I assume that's yellow. Amar of Chista Shiva Zahavim Hain. Seven different types of gold. Zahav, Zav Tov, Zav Ophir. So the first three is standard Zav, okay, standard gold. And then Zav Tov, right, some grade A gold. Zahav Ophir, Rashi just simply says it's the name of a place. It comes from the place called Ophir. Zav Mupaz, Gemara is going to explain what that means. Zav Shachut, Gemara is going to explain what that means. And Zav Sagur. Number six is the closed gold. Gemara is going to explain what that means in Zav Parvim, and the Gemara is going to explain that as well. Okay, so not much explanation right now, but there are seven different types of gold. The Gemara goes over sources. How do I know there's seven different types? Zav, Zav, Tov, Dichsiv, Zav, Haaretz, Ahu, Tov. The Zav of that land is particularly good. As Rashi points out, if that gold is particularly good, that means there must be some sort of standard, some gold standard. Fine. So in other words, it's a standard gold, and then there's the Zav Tov. So that's one and two. Zav Ophir Dasi Me Ophir. Sorry, the Gemara says that Zav Ophir comes from the place called Ophir. Zav Mupaz Shidome Lepaz. Okay, so it's similar to that of pearl. Zav Shachut Shenitve Kechut. Zav Shachut is a very malleable gold. As Rashi points out, because it's so soft, you're able to weave it into fabric. Zav Sagur, B'shash Niftach, Kol Achanios Nizgaros. Zav Sagur, the Gemara doesn't really give much of a description, but its quality is so good that when people are selling the Zav Sagur, it's called Sagur because all the other stores close. Simply, there's no competition for this type of gold. Zav Parvim, Shedome Ledam HaParim. And finally, Zav Parim, it's a reddish tint to it. And actually, the gold looks like a form of the blood of a bull. Ravashi Amar Chamisha Hein. Now Ravashi disagrees, meaning so far we counted seven different types of gold. There's the Zav Tov, and the five different golds that had an adjective that followed them. Ravashi says no. Chamisha Hein, no, there actually are five different types of gold, meaning he's not really arguing with the categories, meaning it's the same categories. It's Ophir, Paz, Nitve, Sagur, and Parvim. There are five different categories. In each category, Ravashi says, there is vein v'cholcha v'chad is be zahav zav tov. And it's just there's a standard in each one of these five categories. and then there is an above standard. Tanya Mihachi, the Gemara points out, we have a Braisa that supports not what we just said, but what we said a couple lines earlier. B'chol yom haya zahav yarok v'hayom adom. Every day it was yarok, it was yellow, and today it was red. V'hainu zahav parim shedom l'dam parim, and it looks like dam parim. Okay, so the gold that was used on Yom Kippur replicated the blood of the bull. B'chol yom makriv pars b'shachris b'chol yom haisa daka v'ayom daka min adaka tan rabban and daka matam alomar v'lo kvar ne'amar v'shachakta mimenu adek. Now, by the Ketores, there's already a halacha that you have to grind up the Ketores. So why Yom Kippur is there an additional requirement to grind? Ala lahavi daka min adaka. So on Yom Kippur, it is finely ground. It's ground and it's ground once again. V'chol yom kohanim olam b'mizrach u'shokevish. Now, every day when the kohen goes up onto the ramp in order to get the shovel full of coals, so he goes on the right side of the ramp. Okay, in other words, if you can imagine, right, the ramp being a highway, so he's in the right lane. Okay, and the reason why is the Gemara is about to point out because he's going to make a right turn. Okay, so you know, everyone knows how to drive, right? You drive, you're going to make a right turn, so you go in the right lane. Okay, so the kohen gadol, not the kohen gadol, right? That's the right way to do it. So the kohen, not the kohen gadol. So the kohen, when he goes up onto the ramp, so he's got to go in the right lane because he knows he's going to make a right turn. The Amar Mar, the Gemara explains, called Pinashata Pona Lo Yehe Ela Derechim in LeMizrach. So as Rashi points out, knowing that you're going to make a right hand turn, so you go in the right lane. So that's normally, that's year round. The Hayom Ola Beemsa V'Yored Beemsa Anyom Kippur. What happens? The kohen gets the center lane. Kohen gadol, I should say, gets the center lane. My tamim shim kvoda the kohen gadol. So that's out of kavod. That's out of honor to the kohen gadol. In other words, he's a kohen gadol. He's, you know, special. He is unique. So he goes up the center of the ramp. Bechol yom kohen gadol mekadesh yad v'raglav min akior v'chulei. So what the Mishnah say that every day the kohen washes his hands from the kior. He goes to the standard basin to wash his hands like everyone else. Vis-a-vis the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, so the Mishnah says he has a special jug, a golden jug. So my time, Mishnah Kvodesh or Kohen Gadol. Once again, that's an act of kavod. B'chol yom hayasham arba ma'arachos. Okay, and here we go. Right, this Gemara should sound familiar. We've covered this Gemara coming up before in different contexts, but now we're going to see the Gemara inside, and the Gemara is going to debate the following. If you take a look on the top of the Mizbeach. So what do you have over here? You have marachos. You have bonfires on the top of the Mizbeach. Look, the primary purpose of the Mizbeach is to burn the karbanos. Okay, that's generally speaking what happens. You burn karbanos. In terms of how many bonfires do you need on the top of the Mizbeach, so if it's just that's the only function, so the answer would be you only need one. If you take a look at the picture over here, now this in the center is called the tapuach. That's the ashes of, I'm sorry, that's a pile of ashes. Okay, that's not a fire, that's just simply where all the ashes are deposited. And eventually, once the carbon is reduced to ash, so the ash is placed over here in the center. And then eventually what's going to happen is the ash is going to be taken off. Right? That's hotzas hadashim. But in terms of the actual fires themselves, so there's one over here on the picture that we're looking at, there's one, two, three. There are actually three fires. So what we're going to see over here is that the picture tells us part of the story. The rest of the story is that it's a machlokus in terms of how many fires need to be on the top.
Is considered one of them?
No, tapuach is just simply a pile of ashes. Huh? No, there's one over here, that's a maracha gedola, that's the main pyre. Then you have what the Gemara refers to, is going to refer to as a maracha shnia. On the picture, it's called the maracha kataris. That's where the coals are taken in order to bring onto the mizbech zahav. And then finally, there's a maracha esh tamid. Now, this term is not going to be used in our Gemara, but stay tuned. In other words, and this picture has three pyres on the top of the mizbech. We're going to see as we go through the Gemara right now, it's subject to a machlokas. Here's what we're all going to agree to as we go through the machlokas inside. On Yom Kippur, there's an additional fire that's made. Why? So the Gemara is not really going to say why. We'll talk about that later on this morning. But there's an additional fire that's made on Yom Kippur. And in that fire, we're going to take coals and we're going to bring it over into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Okay? That is what we're all going to agree to. We're in the middle of Mem, Hey, Amud, Aleph, and we begin. The Braisa is over going to present to us three different opinions. B'chol yom hayasham arba marachos. Now, our Mishnah says that every day there are four marachos. Okay, that's our Mishnah. Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara quotes here, a Braisa, Tosefta, b'chol yom hayushtayim marachos, v'yom shalosh. So the first opinion is that of Rabbi Huda. We'll see it's Rabbi Huda in just a second. that every day there were two marachos, and today, meaning on Yom Kippur, there are three. Maracha gedola v'achas maracha shniya shel ketores v'achas shemosifim bo b'yom divrei Rabbi Yehuda. The main maracha, that's where the limbs are burnt. Then there's a maracha shniya, that's for the ketores, meaning it's from that fire the coal is going to be taken in order to be brought into the heichal, to be placed on the top of the mizbech apnimi, so that ketores can be burnt, and on Yom Kippur, an additional maracha. Okay, so that's shita number one. So shita number one has, our numbers are going to be 2 and 3. 2 year-round, 3 on Yom Kippur. Rabbi Yossi Amar b'chol yom shalosh v'hayom arba'a. And then the shita number two, and that's the shita of Rabbi Yossi. And this third, in this second opinion over here is the one that the Rambam adopts as the halacha. And that is that there's 3 every day, and 4, and a 4th on Yom Kippur. B'chol yom shalosh v'hayom arba'a. Achash amaracha gedola. One is the maracha gedol, v'achas maracha shnei shel ketores. The second one is the secondary maracha. Good, v'achas shel kiyum ha'esh. Now, one is kiyum ha'esh. Now, exactly what that means, the kiyum ha'esh. So Rashi says basically reservoir. If you take a look at Rashi, right, shel kiyum ha'esh. Rashi she'im ein esh al shel maracha gedola mitgaber mosifin alav mizeh. So Rashi says, look, if let's say the fire is getting low on the main maracha, so we'll go to this maracha in order to get fire from this maracha for the main. So this is going to be a reserve fuel, a reserve fire for the main fire. That's the way Rashi describes it. Later this morning, I'll quote the Rambam. It doesn't sound like them from the Rambam, but that's the purpose of this third pyre. And now we're going to add one more for Yom Kippur. So on Yom Kippur, you're going to have actually a fourth pyre burning. And again, on Yom Kippur, the purpose of that fourth one is going to be so that the coals for the Kodesh HaKadoshim are going to be taken from this fourth pyre. And Rabbi Meir Omer, Bechol Yom Arba V'Hayom Chamesh. The third opinion of the Brice is Rabbi Meir, and he has in general 4 year-round, and then Yom Kippur a 5th. Achash Amaracha Gedol V'Achash Amaracha Shneir Shekutaris V'Achash Shokiyam Ha'esh. Fine. 1, 2, and 3, just like Rabbi Yossi, the main pyre, the secondary one for the Kataris, the third for the, what the Gemara refers to as Kiyum Ha'esh, right? Right now we'll go with Rashi, it's like a reserve. And then what's number 4? Achas Le'ivarim U'Pedarim Shelo Nit'aklu Mibe'erev. Let's say you have limbs that were just difficult, right? Stubborn limbs that wouldn't get burnt. So they would go on this now fourth pyre that was on top of the Mizbech. V'achas Shemosifim Bo B'Yom. And then on Yom Kippur, on Bo Bayom, so then there was a fifth fire that was added. Okay, so pretty busy mizbech according to Rabbi Meir. Dekulam amiatar te islahu. Now, first of all, let's go with common denominator. What are our basic common denominators? So that number one, the Gemara notes, everyone agrees that there's two, at least two. Okay, where does that come from? Where does the at least two come from? So this is the Ola al Mokda. Mokda means a fire. Mokad. Sorry, that which is burning. Al Mizbeh Kol Laila Zu Maracha Gedola. So the fact that the Torah describes a Mokda, so that's Maracha Gedola, that's the main. The Ish HaMizbeh Tu Kadbo, and then the Ish Zu Maracha Shnei Shekhtoros, that's the reference to the other one, to the other pyre that's burning on top of the Mizbeh. Okay, good. So in other words, we have a pasuk, and this is our starting point. The common denominator between the three opinions is that there's two, learned out from the pasuk in Perek Vav of Vayikra. Good. Now from there, where do we go? So for Rav Yossi, Kiyam Ha'esh Menalei. Now for Rav Yossi, so in other words, that of course explains Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Meaning Rabbi Yehuda says, how many are there year-round? Two. How do I know that? From the pasuk we just quoted. Now Rav Yossi has an additional fire burning on the top of the Mizbeach. And where does that come from? And that fire was referred to as Kiyum Ha'esh, and the way Rashi described it, we just did it a couple minutes ago, is so that you'll have a reserve. So, Menale Nafkele Meva'esh Al HaMizbeach Tukad Bo. So, it's from the pasuk of V'ha'esh Al HaMizbeach Tukad Bo. Rav Yehuda, now Rav Yehuda says, yes, you're right, that describes a fire, but not a different fire. Rav Yehuda will counter and say that's describing the very same fire. And that pasuk is telling me that the kindling is done on the top. Meaning, here's what you could have argued. You could have suggested that the kindling doesn't need to be done on the top. Meaning, I could start the fire on the floor of the Mizbeach, And then once the fire is good and started, so then I'll bring it to the top of the Mizbeach. The Gemara says, no. You have to actually start the fire. The kindling needs to be done on the top of the Mizbeach. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. I learned from the Pasuk of V'ha'esh al ha-Mizbeach Tukad bo. It has to be started on the top. The kindling has to be done on the top of the Mizbeach. Fine. So now that we've exhausted that pasuk, so now we're back to Rabbi Yossi. Where, according to Rabbi Yossi, where does that third fire come from? So the Gemara explains, Tamalomer veha'ish al ha'mizbeach tukad bo. Rabbi Yossi atasas alisa minale. So the Gemara says, so now he uses that pasuk for the third fire. So how do I know this halacha that the kindling has to be done on top? Nafkale me'ech de nafkale the Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi, what Rabbi Yossi will say is, I know the kindling needs to be on top because we get it from another pasuk. The kindling has to be done by a kohen, over kli sharis, and it has to be done in a kli sharis. Div Rabbi Yehuda. Amalo Rabbi Shimon v'chital adacha shazar krav l'gabe mizbeach. So Rabbi Shimon argues, what do you mean? I need a special din that that it has to be a kohen, meaning it's done on the top of the mizbeach. You can't have a non-kohen on the top of the mizbeach. But rather, the pasuk of Anasim and Aaron Kohen Ish al mizbeach is telling me that it has to be atzasas alisa, which is done on the very top. Fine. Now, take a look at Rashi over here. So once again, where are we holding right now? Right now, we're back and forth between the opinions of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Again, just quickly to review. Rabbi Yehuda says year-round there are two pyres on the top of the Mizbeach. Rabbi Yossi says year-round there are three. So again, where does the two come from? So that we all agreed to. The Gemara says it's the Pasuk in Perek Vav. Of Hi Aula Al-Mogdal Al-Mizbeach O-Lalayla, that's pyre number one. The Eisha Mizbeach Tukadbo, that's pyre number two. So that's one and two. That we agreed to. Then now it's just a question of, is there more after those two? Rabbi Yehuda says, no, stop, that's it. Rabbi Yossi says there's an additional one. Where does the additional one come from? So the Gemara says it comes from the pasuk of Anasu b'dei Aaron HaKohen Eish al HaMizbeach, the first parak in Vayikra. So Rabbi Yossi says that's where it comes from. And Rabbi Yehuda's counter argument would be, no, that's just a din and hatsasas alisa. That's just a halacha telling me that the kindling has to be done on the top, but that doesn't speak to an additional pyre. Okay. Rashi over here is bothered because what was Rabbi Shimon's argument? How v'chital al datcha? What would I have thought? Meaning me'achas shatalam and mina'ish la mizbeach tukar bo she'ei b'roshu shem mizbeach klum hutzrachanu l'mikrazeh lahatina kohen. Meaning once I know that the kindling has to be done on the top of the mizbeach, so I don't need a kohen. V'chital al leiv shezar krav l'gabe mizbeach v'lo ne'amar ach el kli hakodesh v'al mizbeach lo yikrivu. We know that a non-kohen cannot go on the top of the mizbeach. So therefore, by virtue of the fact that it's a kohen, it means that it has to be on the very top of the mizbeach. Okay. Back to the Gemara. V'Rav Yehuda mi'asam hava amina kai a'ara v'avid b'mefuteh. So Rabbi Yehuda says, look, if that's the pasuk, here's what I would have thought. I would have thought, fine, it has to be done on the top of the mizbeach. I'm with you. A kohen cannot go on the top of the mizbeach. A non-kohen cannot go on the top of the mizbeach. I'm with you with that as well. But here we could be a little bit creative. Here's what we could do. We could suggest that have the kindling down on the top of the mizbeach, meaning bring the twigs up to the top. And as far as who's going to start it, maybe we'll have a non-kohen start it. Why not? Have the non-kohen sitting on the floor. Now, granted, from the floor to the top of the mizbeach, that's a distance, right? 9 amos from the floor to the top of the mizbeach. So that's 18 feet, approximately. So that's pretty high. But he'll have some sort of contraption. The Gemara over here describes it as a mefuta, right? Some sort of bellow, you know, the thing that you're blowing with. And that's what I might have thought. Meaning, and so there, that's how I could have reasoned that a non-kohen could be the one starting the kindling, kamash malan. And that's why I need the pasuk. And therefore, what Rabbi Yehuda is arguing is, and that pasuk is not speaking to another pyre. Rabbi Meir. Good. So now we've gone over the shitas of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Okay, each one, respectively, will say either two fires, that's Rabbi Yehuda, three fires, that's Rabbi Yossi. And then there's the Shita Rabbi Shimon. What does Rabbi Shimon say? A fourth. So, and that fourth is for what? For burning limbs that did not get burnt the previous day. So Nafkalem v'esh. So it learns out from the additional Vav. V'esh. And the fire. V'rabbanan Vav lo darshe. And the Vav, and the Chachamim say, no, not, you don't darshe the Vav. Meaning not a new pyre from the extra Vav. The Vav is just simply a connector. So now, according to the Chachamim, what do I do with those stubborn limbs that didn't burn? So mehader lehu lamaracha. So the Gemara says, well, that's very straightforward. You just put it back onto, I'm sorry, lamaracha gedola, put it back on the main fire. If they weren't burned the previous night, sojourn agave mizbech. So you put them back on the top of the mizbech. Now what if there's not enough room? In other words, it's too cramped, and there are more carbons that need to go on. So you put it on the kevish, you put it on the ramp or on the top on the soviv, until there's spot on the maracha gedola, and then you put it on the top of the maracha gedola on the main pyre. Sorry, tam lamar shetochal haish esola al hamizbeach. Okay, fine. So in other words, according to Rabbi Yehuda and according to Rabbi Yossi, you put it back onto the main fire. Rabbi Meir, ikuli ola tamachzir vi atamachzir ikule kitaris. No, Rabbi Meir says, look, I'm with you. The pasuk certainly says that you have to return limbs that weren't burnt, but the pasuk is not telling me that you return it to the main maracha. All the pasuk is telling me is that limbs that don't get burned need to be put up onto the fire. But kitaris, in other words, you're burning kitaris every day. If for whatever reason there's some kitaris, some kernels of kitaris that didn't get burnt, so they don't have to be put up onto the mizbeach once again. Okay. Period. Adkan. All right, so where does that take us to right now? So we have a three-way machlokas. That is pretty much the end of the Braisa and more or less the end of the discussion on the Gemara. Right, started on the middle of Daf Menhem and Aleph, the Gemara brought down three opinions, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Meir, in terms of how many pyres are on the top of the Mizbeach. Respectively, they are 2, 3, and 4, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Meir. And as I pointed out, the Rambam takes the middle shita of Rabbi Yossi. And usually, generally, Halacha follows like Rabbi Yossi when he's arguing with others. Rabbi Yossi mechavei rov, but or whatever. Anyway, the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. So again, what's the way the Rambam describes it? There's a main maracha, right? It's like the picture here. So there's a main maracha, maracha gedola. That's where all the limbs are burnt. The maracha that is for the kataris, meaning that's just simply a pile of a burning fire of coals. And the reason why is because we're going to take these coals and bring them into the heichal daily, place the coals on the top of the mizbech so that we can burn the kataris. Then a third, which is the Eish Tamid. And the way Rashi describes the Eish Tamid is just simply there to provide a reserve fuel for the Maracha Gedola if in the event this is going low. On Yom Kippur, we're going to add one, okay, which is what the Gemara is going to describe right now and discuss right now. Now, again, look at another common denominator amongst the three Shitas, and that is that you add an additional one for Yom Kippur. So again, that means if you are Rabbi Yehuda, you'll add a third. If you're Rabbi Yossi, you'll add a fourth. And if you're Rabbi Meir, you'll add a fifth. So minalahu. So how do I know that? Nafkalu mi viha esh. So you learn it from viha esh, which the Gemara notes is funny, because just a moment ago, we said that the Chachamim don't darshan the extra vav. And here we're darshaning. And the Gemara recognizes that. And the Gemara says, v'afil amanda amar. I'm sorry. V'afil amanda lo darish vav. Vav hey darish. So the Gemara says, a vav by itself, debatable whether or not we could darshan from an additional vav, but a vav and a hey, not debatable. Meaning everyone agrees that we can darshan. Eish tamid lamay asmi bay lelechidatanya. All right, fine. Period. Adkan. So in other words, so if I were to ask you the question, on Yom Kippur we had an additional fire. Why? An additional pyre? So the Gemara doesn't give a thrilling answer. It's not an exciting answer. The Gemara just simply says, we have an additional vav, we have an additional hay. So from the additional vav and hay, so that brings us to the extra pyre on Yom Kippur. What happens with that? So ostensibly what happens with that is that it's the coals from that extra one that is going to be used for the coals for the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Okay, that's the ostensibly that's the reason why it's added on Yom Kippur. Okay. The Rambam also, again, just quoting the Rambam also, in Hilchos Avodas Yom HaKippurim, it's the second perek, the fifth halacha, where he notes that the that there's an additional fire that's added, and the Rambam, it's interesting, the Rambam says, why? Because it's more hiddur. It's to beautify the Mizbeach. Meaning on Yom Kippur, we're focusing around the Beis HaMikdash and the Mizbeach, so to accentuate its beauty, so there's a fourth pyre that is added. That's the Rambam. Now, how does he know that? In other words, he doesn't get it from our Gemara. Our Gemara gives a very just drasha. In other words, it's mechanical. In other words, there's an additional vav, additional hay, and that's how we know that there's a fourth one. The Rambam says it's a function of beautifying the Mizbeach for Yom Kippur, making everything look a little bit nicer on Yom Kippur. Okay. Okay. Sorry. Eish tamid, lamai asa. So we have the pasuk of Eish tamid, a continuous fire. And mibay lelech datanya. Eish tamid tukar al mizbech lo sichbe. Limin al marach eshnir shakatar shalote ela al mizbech achitzon. Where should the Eish shakatars be? I mean, where do I place it? Answer: on the outer mizbech. Eish machta menorah minayin. So the Gemara says, the fire for the coal, for the shovel, the fire for the menorah, where do I get that from? Vidinu. Nemra ish bektoros v'nemra ish b'machta menorah. Malahala mizbech achitzon, avkan mizbech achitzon. So the fact that the Torah keeps describing the word ish, ish always takes us outside. Ish always brings us to the outer mizbech, meaning the source of the fire that's going to be used year-round for the menorah, for the shovel for Yom Kippur, for the mizbech apanimi, is always going to come from the outer mizbech. That's where the fire is always going to get generated from. It's a source of fire. And anytime the Torah uses the word Eish, I know I'm going to go to the outer mizbeach. Oklach l'derech zu. The Gemara says, but you could argue like this. Nemra Eish b'ktoros v'nemra Eish b'machta u'menorah. It says Eish b'ktoros, it says Eish b'machta u'menorah. Ma'alahalam b'samach lo, af machta u'menorah b'samach lo. So the Gemara says, okay, but maybe maybe what we'll do is we'll just simply put it next to that which is contiguous, next to it. Meaning, as Rashi points out, Eish lahalam b'samach lo b'mizbech achitzon asamach lepanimi sha'alav ha-ketoros niktar ach machto menorah notam min asamach lo v'hu mizbech ha-panimi ha-samach lamenorah v'lefnai v'lefnim. Meaning, here's a suggestion. The fire for the mizbech ha-panimi, I'll get it from the outer mizbech. But the fire for the menorah, I'll get it from the inner mizbech. The fire for the Kodesh HaKadoshim, I'll get from the inner mizbech because it's closer. It's more proximate. Maybe that's what's learned out from the word Eish. Not that all fire is coming from the outer mizbech. So the Gemara says, no, we're going to reject that. Why? Tamalomer, Eish tamid tukar al mizbech lo sichbe. Because of the word tamid, meaning, no, that it's a continuous fire, it's a singular source of fire, all fires emanate from the outer mizbech. Eish tamid shamati lach lo tehe ala b'rosh Hashem mizbech achitzon. Fine. Lamanu eish lamenorah eish lamachta minayin. So the Gemara says, okay, but that gets us the eish menorah. What about eish machta? Meaning for Yom Kippur. V'dinu nemra eish b'machta nemra eish b'menorah. Malahal anagab mizbech achitzon. Avkana mizbech achitzon. Again, the Gemara darshan's the same basic point. It's eish. And eish emanates from the outer mizbech. Oklach l'derech zu. Nem eish b'ketoros v'nem eish b'machta. Malahalam b'samach lo, afkam b'samach lo. Again, the Gemara makes the same similar suggestion. So tamalomer, v'lakach malah machta gachalei eish. Me'al mizbech melifnei Hashem. Eizu mizbech shemitzasu lifnei Hashem. Ve'en kulo lifnei Hashem. No. Because the Torah in Achrei Mos, when describing the Avodah, says that you take the malah machta gachalei eish. And what does that come to tell us? It comes to teach us that it is a mizbeach which is partially lifnei Hashem, right? Look at the pasuk. Go back to the pasuk. It's milifnei Hashem. Haviyomer is a mizbeach achitzon. That's the description of the mizbeach achitzon, meaning the Torah in Achrei Mos, when talking about getting the fire, the coals for the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so it uses the milifnei Hashem, so that, and which describes the other mizbeach. Now I need both. Because if the Torah just used the word mizbech, that would have referred to the mizbech panimi. That's why I have the additional melefnei Hashem. And if all I had was melefnei Hashem, I would have thought that the calls have to come from the side that is closer to the heichal. But the fact that now the Torah also gives us the but I might have thought not the eastern side of the mizbech. So that's why I also have the pasuk of me'ala mizbech to tell me that any portion of the mizbech would be acceptable, would be fine. Okay, quickly to conclude and to summarize. Okay, we're continuing in the Mishnah's description of bringing the fire from the Mizbech Hachitzon into the inner Mizbech. A number of differences that we pointed out between the daily Ketores versus the Yom Kippur Ketores. The daily Ketores versus Yom Kippur Ketores. And the main part of today's daf revolved around the actual Marach, the pyres on the top of the Mizbech. We have a three-way machlokas, which we quote on Daf Mem Hamad Aleph, in terms of how many pyres there are on a daily basis, and the additional one that's at Yom Kippur. 2, 3, and 4 are your three different opinions, espoused by Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Meir. Told you the Rambam takes that middle position, that Rabbi Yossi position, that's three daily. The three daily represent the main pyre, the Marech HaShnia, secondary pyre, which is where the coals are used for the Mizbeach, for the burning of the Ketores on the Mizbeach HaPanimi. And then a third pyre for the purposes of Esh Tamid. And the Rashi says it serves as a reserve for the main fire. In other words, if the main fire goes out, I go to the Esh Tamid. And then, on Yom Kippur, an additional one is added. The quote of the Rambam. The Rambam says it's for the purposes of beautifying the Mizbeach on Yom Kippur. So we have an additional one on Yom Kippur. And finally, the final point of today's daf is that all fires are emanating from the Aron Mizbeach. Meaning we need a fire for the menorah, to light the menorah, from the Aron Mizbeach. I need a fire for the Mizbeach HaPnimi, from the Aron Mizbeach. I need a fire to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim from the Aron Mizbeach. It all comes from the Aron Mizbeach, and basically because of the Esh Tamid, that all fires emanate from the Aron Mizbeach. Okay, so for the Mizbeach HaPnimi, secondary. For Yom Kippur, the fourth one, which you don't see here. Right, but for the Mizbeach HaPnimi, for the menorah, I'm not sure. To be honest, the Gemara didn't actually say. I would guess the secondary, but that's only guesswork on my part. Okay, Adkan, that's today's daf.